Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Bespoke Post. This spring, the best box you're going to open up is the Bespoke Post box. The box of awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands from around the world. I just got mine
today. You got some jams.
I got some jams and jellies. I got a delightful Keen's paste. That chair said I should throw on a quesadilla.
A quesadilla?
With some Keen's paste.
Keen's quesadilla is quite good.
The Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started and be eating like a king like I will be, to get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you.
I got some little sticks. They smelled real good. It was like not incense,
just
but it's
sticks?
Like it's little,
just...
the little sticks that you put them in the room and they make the room smell good.
Was that the only thing in them?
There was like a little thing that you put the sticks in.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
oh, like a diffuser.
A diffuser. That's what it is. God. It's the sticks that make your room smell good.
Like, nice. The sticks that make it. What are you talking? It's free to join and they release new items every month. They release new flavored sticks every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you have access to seller discounts across a plethora of products too. We're talking about 30% or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small up-and-coming brand. You're used to this by now. Free to sign up, skip a month, cancel anytime. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code DUNGEONS at checkout. This is such a mystery gift, we don't even know what it is. So tell us what it is. The boxofawesome.com code DUNGEONS for a free mystery
Can I get this mystery gift as a member of the podcast?
Do I have
to sign up for it?
You're going to have to sign up at Box
of
Awesome.
I've never wanted to know something so bad as what this mystery gift is.
Box of Awesome.
It better not be my jean jacket, Bespoke Post. It better not be everyone's getting a copy of my cool jean jacket that I got from Bespoke Post.
Why is it they made it like the Will Campos edition?
I'm already wearing the Will Campos edition.
Boxofawesome.com, code DUNGEONS. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Greenlight. As your kids are getting older, some things about parenting get easier. Like what?
You don't have to clean their poop out of their
butt. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. But, Will, you know what is coming up?
What?
Money conversations. And the fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it, and that's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
Freddie, I plan on teaching my son everything he needs to know about money by absolutely destroying him in a game of Monopoly that goes for 10 hours.
Well, maybe put away the Monopoly board and go with the Greenlight app, where you can teach your kid how to learn to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games. That's a game. Yeah, it's got games to teach money skills.
Does it have Wall Street Kid on there? I love Wall Street Kid.
In a fun, accessible way.
Hate to break it to
you, finally, a way to avoid Gen Alpha putting all their money down the skibbity toilet.
The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring GATs customized to your family's needs and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. Did you guys get paid an allowance when you were a kid?
Yep.
What was the allowance? I had to mow the lawn.
I had to empty the dishwasher, and then, like, that was it, I think, for...
You had to do, Beth?
You just had to mow the lawn.
I had the big lawn. Suburbs.
Big
dishwasher.
I just had a lot of chores. It wasn't like one chore. It was like I just had
to
do chores.
Yeah, I just had
week.
To like clean. And
my parents
yeah.
had kind of Skinner box thing going on where like I would just do chores and occasionally I would get to buy something. And that was the real way to keep your kid doing those chores.
You had company script
The intermittent reward thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned like a little dog. Yeah.
We go to the mall. Maybe we go to KB Toys. Maybe not.
Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
Sign you up. Tell me there's an easy, convenient way to raise kids?
Financially responsible
kids.
Responsible ones. Sign up for Greenlight today and get the first month free when you go to greenlight.com/dungeons. That's greenlight.com/dungeons to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/dungeons.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the description.
We now return you to our feature presentation.
Tell me what happened.
I told you exactly what happened. They put you in the meth-based Supermax, we slapped some people around, us dads straighten it out, and it's all over.
I'm telling you now, if I hear anything, I swear on Santa Claus, Joey, I'm going to kill somebody.
Well, go ahead and kill everybody. You're a tough guy. Go kill people. Kill Willie. Kill Barry. Kill Dennis Anderson. Kill me while you're at it. What do I care? You're killing yourself the way you're working out. You unbalanced moron. Look at you. Look at your left arm.
What do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean kill you?
Kill me. Start here. Kill me first. Do me a favor because you're driving me crazy. You're a killer. You're a big shot. Just kill. You're a killer.
Excuse me. What do you mean by you, though?
So? What does that mean?
Joey, that meant something. You mentioned Willie, you mentioned Dennis, you mentioned you. You included you with them. You could have said anybody, but you said you and them.
You really let prison ruin your life. Look at you. You know how flippin' nuts you are? Look what it did to you.
You raised my son?
What?
You raised my son?
How could you ask me that question? How could you ask me that? I'm a dad. You ask me that?
Just tell me.
I'm not gonna answer that. It's stupid.
You give me all these answers, but you ain't give me the right answer. I'm gonna ask you again. Did you or did you not?
That's a sick question, and I'm not gonna answer it. I'm leaving. If Morgan calls me, tell him me and Nicholas are going into Book Castle. You're a sick bastard. I feel sorry for you. I really do. You know what you should do? Try a little more fathering and a little less getting swole so you won't have problems at home and you don't pick on me and my boy Nicholas. You understand me, you freaking wacko? You're cracking up. You know what this is? This is a flashbang. I'm leaving. Freaking screwball.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, a Mulan fan cast.
Oh,
no, not a BDSM podcast, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
Let's get down to business.
What I love is the longer this podcast goes on and the farther away you listen to this episode, the weirder that intro is going to be. Like, nobody's going to remember Jimmy was in Mulan in like 5 years. So somebody's like, wait, why are they doing a Mulan podcast?
Dang, brutal, dude.
Nobody's going to remember that one episode where I had just gotten Invisalign and talked like a fucking freak.
Yeah. Warning, everybody, Beth is very cute now and you're just going to have to sort of deal with that.
You have to deal with it.
Beth is now playing all the children characters.
This is the Dungeons and Dragons podcast about four dads from our world flung into the land of high fantasy and magic in a search for their lost sons.
Along with their cool friend, Glenn.
Featuring Glenn Close. I'm the man featured there. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard dad of the group. I realize I came in with a full head of steam and I didn't have a dad.
Unfortunately,
fact.
You need each other.
When your brother's not around, you don't need to stunt on him.
You ran into a gunfight and realized you didn't have any ammo. What's going on?
Here's Glenn's dad fact. He used to read books to Nick as a kid. Like growing up, he would read him bedtime stories. Mostly it was rock and roll biographies, you know, like that Motley Crue one.
Patti Smith.
Yeah, exactly. All of those rock and roll bios.
You read him the Motley Crue.
Wait, you read Nick the Dirt when he was a kid?
The Dirt. I mean, I sanitized it.
That might
it.
Be the worst thing your character's done.
No, I sanitized, but Glenn sanitized
right.
it.
Patreon stretch goal, I want an audio recording of Glenn reading The Dirt to Nick,
yes.
And then having to improvise whatever the sanitized kid-friendly version is off the dome.
They took 16 friends up to their playroom, and they played Call of Duty.
And they snorted M&Ms.
When the cops came, they played Call of Duty too. And they all had fun.
Afterward, for me, was a blur of fizzy drinks, fun powder, interviews, and women.
That's the darkest one, the hesitation before women.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, this is IRL dad, Matt RP.
Here's the thing, when you sanitize the dirt, it's actually about as long as reading Goodnight Moon. You know what I mean? It's like you're basically reading the Wikipedia article from Motley Crue at that point.
He goes through the whole book every night.
There's a lot of page. Like, Nick grew up being like, do
fans.
Books just like not have like, because you'd flip through like 40 pages, like, whoa, no, none of
redacted
this, none of this, none
CIA
of this, let's
documents.
Go on. Redacted, redacted, redacted.
Sorry, Matt, you were saying?
Hey, everybody, this is IRL dad, Matt Arnold, RPing fictional dad, Daryl Wilson. Daryl's a stay-at-home coach dad who became a barbarian upon entering the Forgotten Realms. things. I wanted to go more into Daryl's domestic life, so I thought I would talk about chores, since that's most of Daryl's day. Daryl organizes his chores into three categories, and they are bores, snores, and scores. So what he does is, the snores are the ones he can just do while sleeping. Those are the ones he saves for like the end of the day when he's getting tired. Like, you know, those are like folding laundry, like whatnot. The bores are the tough ones. Those are like the ones he does not want to do.
He's doing
the dishes, cleaning the bathtub. That's the stuff he puts at the top of the day. The scores are like the little rewards to himself, you know, mowing the lawn, all the stuff he likes to
Eating Charleston shoes.
Yeah. Eating Charleston shoes.
Masturbating in the shower.
And he does a little check mark. They're like, whoa, there's a lot of scoring going on today. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it was a busy day. No, that's it. That's all. It's just he's got, yeah.
I like that system.
Yeah, it's a good
That's
system.
That's very wholesome.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I'm Will Campos, professional podcaster and official voice of Henry Oak, the fictional hippie, crunchy, munchy, Birkenstock rocking, hippie nature druid dad on this podcast, Dungeons and Daddies. Here's my Henry fact this week. Since I wanted to do a book theme one like Freddy because, you know, we're going to Book Castle. As we've established in the fiction of this universe, Henry's favorite type of book is trees. Because every tree tells a story and they're all unique. Henry's second favorite type of book is books about trees. Boy, howdy, does he love trees. And there's nothing better than reading your second favorite book while leaning up underneath your first favorite book, a tree.
Dude, that's fucked up, dude, because books are made of trees.
That's true. That's why it's so amazing. There's so much tree book synergy in the world when you're reading a tree book under a tree. You know, it's like
how does Henry feel about the Giving Tree?
Yeah,
the Giving Tree.
Yeah.
Didn't you talk about the Giving Tree once?
I've never read the Giving Tree, but I feel
like you
Henry
did this. You said it's the Giving Tree, and we all realized that you hadn't read the Giving Tree.
Oh,
and
then
you,
okay.
It was like, no, Henry would not like the Giving Tree.
I will say that the Giving Tree is like, I don't know, codependence to a tree. You know.
Yeah.
Let me say that again because it's so funny. It might as well end up in the podcast. I will say that.
Don't fuck it up.
The Giving Tree is actually just like if you look up codependent in the dictionary, that's what you see is the Giving Tree.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really funny joke, by the way.
I like your first telling of it.
Yeah.
We're A-B testing it. A is the better option.
Fuck.
I feel like the every tree has a story is one of those things that like people in museums say or whatever. It's just like if you said that in a forest to your kids, you'd be like, yeah, I love trees because every tree's got a story. Your kids would be like, say one. And then say another one, Dad. Tell me two different stories that these trees tell, better be good. It's like, nope.
I like a challenge. Once upon a time, there was an acorn, and the acorn got, you know, it grew into a big, beautiful tree.
Oh, straight to the third act, huh? Damn.
And it lived happily ever after. Now, here's a second fun story. This is about a tree that was in the forest as well, and it was a tree that loved being in the forest, and then two mean little boys named Lark and Sparrow came along and carved Boner Fart 69420 into the tree, and the tree didn't like that very much, and it got sad, and it was, you know, it still loved the boys, but it was like, oh, geez, why'd you do that? And it hurt a lot, but then it eventually grew over it, and, you know, but the boys still shouldn't have done that at the end. There you go. What do you want from me, Matt?
Daryl's adding Henry's tree stories to the bore category of his chore section.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron's
Oh no. Get a running start.
Hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. I'm Beth May, orthodontic superstar.
Beth pulling this voice out on the podcast is like she's running a marathon. She's already like a mile ahead of everybody, and everybody's like, you can just slow down and have a good time, like just wait to the audience. And she just like doubles. She's like, no, I'm crushing.
She's podcasting
everybody.
Like I'm not left-handed either.
Wait,
yes,
I am left-handed.
I'm saying that your voice is just even funnier. Oh. What?
I got Invisalign a few days ago. Fun fact about Ron this week is that upon seeing Jody and Nicholas disappear into the book castle, Ron was simultaneously hit with an urge to say something witty that might, you know, end the episode on a real zinger or something like that. And so shocked that his jaw fell open. But when both those happened at the same time, he bit his little tongue like real hard. And so he might not be talking so good this episode.
I'm rooting for Ron in a way that I never have before. I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your dad. Last episode's a special Anthony fact. It was a Wreck Me Daddy where I talked about a puzzle that I started. And I finished the puzzle and the puzzle was great. It was a delight. They're called Magic Puzzles. You can find them on Amazon. And they came in a box of three or a pack of three. And I was like, all right, week two, time to tuck into another delightful puzzle. Just me and my thoughts and 1,000 random pieces that I can assemble to make it seem like the world has order. And I've dumped them all out and started turning them over. And then I realized that the real twist ending at the end of the puzzle is that I'm old and my back is bad.
Oh.
And I am now too infirm to do puzzles because you have to lean over.
Oh, no.
So I took the oldest man possible thing and I'm too much of an old man to do it now.
No, you got to get one of those like drafting tables.
Yep. That's how the puzzle pros do it.
Yeah.
No, serious. That's a real thing. Yeah. The hardcore puzzlers know.
Yeah. I'm not that hardcore.
Or you just got to get a nephew that you can be like, hey, give me that piece across the table over there and just stay seated. That's what
when
I
Dot
do.
Becomes of age, I will enlist her as my puzzle squire.
Yeah. You just get stay seated and have the kids pick them up. My mom does puzzles all the time. That's usually the thing as a kid. You're like, I think the quarter piece is over there, man.
So when we last left you all, you had just escaped the Meth Bay Correctional Facility. Congratulations.
Yay.
You had landed the rock, the big old bird, outside of Books Castle because you had promised that it would be able to keep Books Castle because it likes books.
Ooh.
We realized we couldn't afford Jimmy anymore.
That Mulan money finally came in. Those residues.
Yeah.
You decided to explain to Jody and Nicholas reality as you perceived it, which is that Jody didn't exist until you left the courthouse and that Nicholas used to be Glenn's son, not Jody's. Jody and Nicholas, thinking that you'd been under the effect of some sort of spell or that something bad had happened, they produced a flashbang, threw it. The drawbridge is open. He ran inside with Nicholas, and they both disappeared into the darkness of Book Castle, and you cannot see them past the doorway.
I just want to point out that, you know, a flashbang is such a powerful concussive device. So I'll just go ahead. We'll join the scene mid-action.
Can you die from a flashbang?
I can't! Fuck! I can't see! What?!
Oh my god! Oh, freaking ding dang!
I'm gonna throw up.
I think I bit my tongue.
Oh my god, Ron bit his tongue! Ow!
It's not that bad, guys. I don't know what your problem is. It's not a big deal.
Hayden, the reason it's not affecting you is because I held you. I mean, you were.
I'm pretty sure it's just because I'm very strong, but I'll take that too.
I mean, you are a strong boy, but. Yeah.
I powered through that flashbang.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Dude, how's the rock reacting to a human flashbang from the LAPD or wherever the fuck?
As we found out about 2 weeks too late, the rock is the size of a kaiju.
Oh.
It's like massively, massively, massive.
Remember, I said it was 7,000 pounds.
It's like Clifford. Like Clifford the Big Red Dog is a kaiju.
Yeah, it's a Clifford the Big Red Dog kind of situation, in much the same way that you could not reasonably expect to loop a belt around Clifford the Big Red Dog's neck and bring him to heel. The rock is also probably too big for that, but we'll just go ahead and move on past that.
It could be a little tiny rock.
I mean, no, but it's your world. You explain how big it was.
It's no job for an ordinary belt, but an anti-belt.
But an anti-belt, that's true. It's only because Jody did it that it worked, because the impossible is possible when you believe.
Jody's got a big elastic dad belt.
Daryl puts his fingers around a belt loop on Peyton. I go, be my eyes, son. Run, run. Just find them. And I go, Peyton, go. Just chase after them.
No problem. He starts running in a direction that is not toward the castle. He's like, what am I doing? Where am I going? I don't care. I'm just momentum. I can't stop moving. I'm like a shark.
You're going after Jody.
Okay, sure.
Let's settle down for a second. Let's just take 2 minutes and let's come up with like a plan here. So they went into this place. What do we really know about Book Castle? This place seems like it could be pretty rowdy.
What do we really know about books?
And also, like, what are we going to do when we get in there? You know, like, are we going to beat them up? Like, we still got like a two dad, one son situation. So like, how do we want to handle this?
Does Nick really not think I'm his dad?
Yeah, man.
Well, to be fair, we don't really think that he's your son.
Yeah, no, I mean, to Ron's point, it's not like he just forgot.
Like a different timeline.
You remember Sliders, the show that Henry likes a lot? And then, like, I definitely enjoyed
Sliders,
it too.
Sliders, yeah, you know?
Sliders.
It seems like this is a completely different Nick. Like, it's not that he doesn't know that you're his dad. It's like Jody is his dad forever.
Well, then we shouldn't go after him. Then we should slide into another timeline or something, or find another way to. What are we wasting time here for then?
I mean, I guess that's one way to think about it. If that's not your son, I guess we could just ignore them. That's kind of up to you, Glenn.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just go deal with Willie. Ron, your anchor's still out there, right? Fuck it.
Peyton.
What?
Peyton language.
Peyton, we're pretty loose on this, but like, can we just cut the effort just a little bit? Just,
oh my God.
Like,
I'm just being real.
Father?
Oh. No, the other F word, Ron.
I can see how that would be, you know, a pretty bad F word right now. Things aren't looking great for the entirety of just fatherhood, especially when you got two dads that are fighting. Glenn, buddy, I wish there was something I could tell you that make
you know, would make you feel better. I always thought I consider myself sort of the outsider, the rogue, no pun intended, of the group. The kind of,
why was that a pun?
Oh, there's what? This game. I'll tell you later. and I always thought that I was kind of the one on the outs. But then I realized that when you got a weird son that doesn't like you, then you're always on the outs. And so, let's see. What am I trying to say here, Glenn?
You're saying I'm like a stepdad to this other Nick now?
That's exactly what I'm saying, buddy, is that you're a stepdad now.
But that's bullshit.
You know what? That means that you can step up.
That's true.
I don't need to step up. I have stepped up.
You're actually right. I didn't think that you were a bad dad. And I
read to that kid. I raised that kid. What's all this supposed to mean then? Did that not happen?
Look, we don't know what the deal is with new Nick / Narcolis, right? And like, it doesn't make sense to me that the law would be like, you're a bad dad, so we're just gonna swap your son out with a different...
That's the first time Glenn heard the word Narcolis, so he's like...
My point is, this could be a different Nick, this could be the same Nick, and just with different memories. We gotta go in there and figure out what's going on. So, you know I was the one who was like, let's all stop and talk about it, but maybe you're right, Daryl. Maybe we should just...
Yeah, I mean, they're gone now, Henry. I was just...
Oh, jeez. Oh, you're right. You know, I'm so look before I leave. Oh, stupid Henry. I'm sorry, guys.
Hey, but it's all right.
No, it's okay. We're all kind of stumbling on this. I feel like Glenn, for all the times he says the wrong thing, sometimes he does know the right thing to say. And so I feel kind of like I just can't really think of anything that will make you feel better, Glenn.
Since we have stopped here for a moment, I do have to ask, Glenn, you're old now. What happened? I just realized, like, I'm just looking at you. Like, you look good, by the way. Like,
you're great.
Like,
you
I hope,
great.
Man, I hope I look
so
as good,
good
as you do. Yeah.
Looking
however old
fine.
You are.
Looking good.
Yeah. You can be like my dad now. Like,
silver
yeah, I, mean, I don't know why I said that.
Let's not say anything we can't take back. Ho. He's still nothing to the pee, though.
But maybe you tell us your side of the story. We can get a little bit, at least, like, what happened? Like, what do you remember?
While you guys do that, I'm going to heal our bird friend over here because he's looking pretty rough. And so while they're doing that, Anthony, I'd like to cast Cure Wounds on the bird.
Delightful.
I mean, I remember waking up in a cell. It was pretty bad down there, guys. I'm gonna be honest. I don't like to think about it too much. I was just sort of focused on getting out, and I also was focused on honing my body to be powerful and strong. So I was doing a lot of working out.
Nick Jr.'s on your shoulder, like nodding knowingly as you're saying this.
This is Nick Jr.
You got like halfway there. It looks like you got like one.
I was stuck to a wall. Time was weird in there, man. It felt like years passed, even though I knew it was only moments.
It looked like years passed.
Yeah. It was strange.
But in a cool way.
Yeah, there was a lot of implications about like time dilation that if we poke at it too hard, doesn't quite hold up under scrutiny, but let's just move on.
That seems to be a thing in this world, like that there's like a sort of vague sense of stuff moves faster and slower than other stuff, but it kind of just changes willy-nilly depending on what's going on. Like, how is it that
you
we
know,
can...
Maybe some people, they major in creative writing. Maybe they don't major so much in theoretical physics. Maybe, you know, you got your areas that you're good at and your areas that's good at. You just sort of move on.
But how can we talk to our wives on the phone if it's going faster in their world than our
Man,
world?
These are good questions. These are great questions. Boy, oh boy. Man, I wonder what Jody and Nicholas are doing. Oh, boy.
I'm not the smartest guy, but I just always thought since, like, the time dilation stuff, like, doesn't actually happen, anybody that says it wouldn't happen that way is kind of talking out of their ass because it's not a real thing that actually can happen. So, like, I think whatever the author says in the story Sliders or whatever we're watching, I think that's what happened. I think it's fine. Like, I don't think anybody can actually say it doesn't work that way because it doesn't exist.
I don't really care.
Anyway, it was jacked up. One of those guards poked my eye out.
Oh, my God, you have one eye?
I lift up my eye patch. Like, yeah, check it out.
That looks real manly.
I can't see through this one.
Nick Jr. covers his eyes.
Yeah, there's no eye there.
I guess manliness comes with a cost.
Sometimes it does, Ron.
Shit, that's really good.
For sure, that's like my situation now when that bird plucked my eye out. Like, I think I'm a little nearsighted in my left eye. Like, I think my...
Henry, you don't look as cool. Just stop.
All right, fine. You're right, Ron.
You know, I've been nearsighted this whole time. I lost my contacts, like, in the second episode. I just,
oh, my gosh, you don't... Oh, what prescription are you? I don't know why I had 20/20 vision. I don't know why I'm asking that.
Would the dads compare prescriptions? Oh, my God.
Let me try on your glasses.
I'm like four. It's not a lot. I'm mostly doing reading glasses, but that's like, you know, if anytime I miss...
Wait. Henry, you got glasses on and you have 20/20 vision? Then what's the glasses for?
Why do you have 20/20
vision?
What's
the glasses for, Henry?
Uh-oh.
Of course, that is the most on-brand thing.
The glasses? Oh, well, they're, you know, it's to block that blue light.
Sure.
You know, it's to block the... I wear them because I think it makes me look smart. All right, there fine. Here, Daryl, you can have my glasses.
There it is. There it is. The truth comes out.
Oh, fine, fine. I can see perfect. Well, ironically, I can't see perfectly well. Now I have one slightly blurrier eye, but Daryl, you try these.
Oh, I mean, they're non-prescription, so it doesn't help at all.
Oh, shit.
But how do I look? This is good.
You look really good.
Roll,
you look...
Roll something to see how you look. Roll D20. I don't care what the stat is.
I got a one. I throw them.
You throw my glasses?
No, here's what it is. Daryl, as he lifts the glasses to his face, pokes his own eye with them, the arm. So now he has to take disadvantage on all sight-related checks.
And then he goes, and like crushes them in his hand on accident.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, all right. Well,
it's like at the end of that Twilight Zone episode. You're surrounded by books and your glasses.
Oh, my God. I had so much time now.
Time enough at last.
Okay, so I agree with Ron here. We should probably just go in. That was like, but
real quick, this new guy, Jody.
Real quick.
What do you guys know about him? I got the sense that he was kind of sucked, honestly. But what do we know about
him? Well, he's a law enforcement officer. I believe he. I had a feeling you were going to react that way. He is a. I believe he's a highway patrolsman of some sort.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, and so he seems like, I don't know. He kind of seems like the opposite of you in every way. Although,
so he must totally suck.
I got to be honest. Giving your kid a flashbang kind of seems like something you would do too.
He actually is kind of nice, though.
As far as I'm concerned, leaving a kid in the custody of someone who'd give him a flashbang, that's a kid in danger. We better get in there regardless of whatever happened to Nick if he's still in there.
Hey, Glenn, though, I'm really sorry about that your kid isn't cool anymore. And
thanks, Ron.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
And Glenn pulls Ron into a hug and just holds it for a lot longer than you think it should be held.
And Ron cries a little bit. Just a little bit.
Ironically, Henry is completely missing all of this tender emotional dad stuff that would normally be his shit, because he's just super sad about his broken glasses. And he's trying to look at his reflection in a nearby pool of water to see if he looks okay.
Hey, but you still look great. No, you look good, glasses or without, man.
And then reflection from Mulan plays. This is the ultimate Mulan fan cast.
You can always just put the frames on.
But they're pretty broken too.
Right.
Henry's trying to do that when everyone else is hugging, and he goes, now forget, and he throws them away.
Delightful.
Let's save this motherfucking kid.
Are we referring to kids as motherfucking now? That's pretty... I'm the one who has to watch my language. He just said motherfucking kid.
Peyton, if he was my son, I would tell him not to say that. Well, you're not my son. I don't know why I keep saying that. I'm sorry. I'm very confused. You're my dad. My son's over there.
Oh, my God.
I know it's a lot.
I thought I raised you better than this.
Even if we don't know if it's Nick or Narcolis or whatever it is, like, we need him to do your anchor, right? We need, like, I got your weed. By the way, can you take this?
Oh, gosh.
Can you take this from me, please?
Glenn literally grabs the blunt like it's Alan Grant's glasses from fucking Jurassic Park. Like, his hands are shaking as he, like, lifts it to his mouth and fucking, it's like, any light?
Wait.
What?
That blunt, it might not seem magic right now, but if you smoke that blunt, it means you're giving up all hope that it could become magic again, that your son is still out there. If you smoke that blunt, you're giving up everything. Thing, man.
Glenn takes Henry's words into consideration, looks at it, and like closes his hand around this. Just like in my head, it's just like the most righteous Snoop Dogg size blunt ever. So it's like it's literally like gripping a bottom of a baseball bat.
Oh my God.
He's like, you're right.
You gotta remember, Daryl did roll the blunt, right?
Yeah, I really remember.
It's a terrible blunt.
Yeah, he rolled it like a Chipotle burrito, right? Yeah.
Actually, that makes sense. Daryl rolled it like a baseball bat. He said, this is how much pot you smoke.
The notion of waiting to like smoke a blunt that is that poorly rolled is like such an appalling concept.
It just slowly falls apart in your pocket.
You're building up to this great, oh, I can't wait to smoke this thing. And then it's built like a fucking scarf in a closet, like just unraveling.
So Daryl, when you reach into your pocket to get the blunt, you also pull out an item that you didn't have when you went into the jail. It must have fallen into your pockets when you were in the prison.
Never happened in my life before, but okay.
Well, you've never been to prison before, so how do you know?
Everything got sucked up to a gelatinous cube, right? So who knows, right?
Yes. Yeah. It might have fallen down the ground and some guard was like, oh, no, and then stuffed it in a pocket at random. That's how it happened.
Okay.
It's a piece of paper that at the very top of it, it says P&P block, and this is a tax form. It's a magical tax form.
Daryl gets an erection.
Yeah. That gives Daryl an erection.
It's a magical tax form that gives you advantage on intimidation and allows you to fill in what the person owes for taxes. So you can write in like pretty much anything and give it to somebody. And then you have advantage on intimidation if you are specifically trying to intimidate them into feeling like, hey, you're past due on your taxes and this is what we need to take as collection.
Just like taxes in the real world.
Yeah. This is the final item that came from our super crazy elite tier one shots that I did with some of our Patreon folks. Right. So this is the last one of those.
Oh, cool.
Hey, fellow dads, some prisoner dropped a tax form in my pocket. Probably thought I could have helped them with it because I'm pretty good at the taxes, by the way. But I feel pretty good. I'm going to hang on to this.
I'm a businessman. I have no need for taxes.
Oh, yeah? How much do you think you owe, Ron? Because I could, I won't use it on you. It's all good. I'll put this back in my pocket.
The power's gone to Daryl's head. We got to get the thing away from him.
All right, guys, look, it's a very confusing time for me right now. Decades passed. You guys all seem to be the same for the most part. Henry, you look like a fucking dumbass without your glasses. Sorry, it's just the truth.
Ouch, man. Jeez.
But you know what? I know you're like kind of smart anyway, so it's all good. Listen, I don't know what's going on with that kid, but I don't like that Jody guy. And if there's any bit of Nick still in there, I got to get him back, man.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's do it.
Do you enter Silk Castle?
Yes, we do.
No, we talk for a while before. I just rolled perception as I'm crossing. Books make Daryl nervous, so he's looking around. This definitely, for everybody else, this seems cool. He's like, no, this place is dangerous. Fucking books are full of sinful words, or who knows what's going on in here.
Wow.
So rolled a 17.
So with a 17.
Do I see anything as we cross the drawbridge?
So as you cross the drawbridge, you're immediately hit with the smell of a brand new book. That sense when you open it up and it just smells a little bit new from the bookstore, the library.
Is that what like a Barnes & Noble smells like? I don't know what that smells like, honestly.
You've never like opened a book and been like, new book smell.
I mean, it smells like Amazon packages for me at this point, to be honest.
Oh,
I'm sad.
Sure.
For you. New book smells great.
I don't know. Let me smell my new book that just came out.
Yeah, what is the Immortal Soul Salvage Yard smell like? Does it smell like quality?
The Immortal Soul Salvage Yard, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You just click on the link in the description. Beth, what does that smell like?
It doesn't really smell like anything.
No, my copy smells like honesty and funny and
it smells like raw emotions.
Raw emotions.
As you cross the drawbridge, you can feel the book creak under you and the cover sort of slam shut vertically and the drawbridge closes behind you and the rock squawks like thankful it's moving its wings a little bit more. The wounds on its chest have healed up because of a cure wound spell.
While I was healing the rock, I casted Speak with Animals and told him that like we gotta go check this place out and clear it out of bad guys so he doesn't get hurt. But then, you know, like it's all his after we leave.
Cool. He went, "Wait." That's the only syllable you'll ever hear from him. It's so weird.
All right.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Hims.
Oh, is that the one you use?
Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch.
Emphasis on cum.
Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options.
How do they know about my cum fort?
ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple, 100% online, no uncomfortable doctor's visits. You answer a series of questions on their site and
why
a medical provider.
Why is that to be uncomfortable with your doctor?
Because my doctor's always like,
why do
what?
You need ED pills?
What's wrong with your dick? They shout at me.
What? Oh, does somebody's dick not work? Doctors
hard.
Are like that all the time.
Yeah, I know. They just yell at me. They scream, get hard, and it is the only thing that gets me hard. So how does Hims help with that?
Answer a series of questions on their site. Including, Matt, you'll probably use the long response option to sort of describe all of your things going on. And a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance needed. You'll love this line, everybody. If ED is getting you down.
Aww.
It's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers to get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/daddies. That's HIMS.com/daddies for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/daddies. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Dungeons & Dragons is brought to you this week by Etsy.
Ooh.
Etsy.
Let's
Etsy
see what,
what's
Etsy,
in store
yeah.
today.
Listen up, listeners. We're here to tell you there's no reason to panic next time you're looking for a perfect gift. Now.
There isn't. Oh, thank God.
Now,
I can relax.
You ready for this? Gift mode on Etsy. Gift mode on Etsy.
I'm always in gift mode.
Stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone on any occasion. Just tap or click gift mode on the Etsy app or Etsy.com. Answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And then gift mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas. Check it out. Check it out. I'm here. I'm right here. I'm right here on the site. Check it out.
Okay, let's find
a
gift for my dad.
Find a gift for Beth right now.
Okay, for my dad.
His interests are like not Beth.
Yeah.
Beth, would you say that that's an Aquarius?
A Libra.
There's grooming gift boxes. Now, hold on. I know what you're thinking.
Keep your dad hairless. Keep daddy nice and smooth.
For a smooth daddy. They just pre-categorize a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of camo hats on this page. Let
Dude,
me tell
okay,
you.
But those hats all say dad, and my dad doesn't want to do that.
But what about dada?
Now find a gift for me because I'm sad.
Oh, wait, Beth. Yeah,
what does Beth want?
What does Beth want?
My dad.
Beth.
The one thing
Beth,
Etsy
you
can't
sound like
give.
A 90s kid.
Yep, that's me.
Handmade treasures. You said gift tape, mixtape gifts. 90s sweatshirts and tees. Tons and tons of stuff. If you need to find the perfect gift, don't panic. Try gift mode on Etsy now.
So you enter Book Castle. You are assaulted with the smell of new books. Everything is instantly quiet. In the same way that, like, after a snowfall, like, the snow crystals absorb all the sound. It's got that, like, sense of, like, eerie quietude to it. Your footsteps make a very soft echo throughout this massive chamber that you're in. The floor is like cobblestone, but instead of individual stones, it's like the covers of hardback books.
It's novel stone.
Nice. So yeah, it's novel stone as far as you can see, with the exception of in the center, leading toward a door at the end of the chamber that you're in. It's like a yellow brick road, but it's...
Yellow book road?
It's a yellow book road. Aw. It's basically a bunch of open books. So there's like paper pages you can stand on that represents the trail, and the rest of it is just a bunch of...
So you're saying like the path is marked by open books, but
yeah.
All of it is books.
But all of it is books on the ground.
I just want to yell in this quiet to be like, hey, Jody, you piece of shit, come out here and fight me one-on-one.
So to your surprise, despite the fact that you're in a very cavernously large room with pillars that are also made of books just going up 10 stories, your voice doesn't echo at all.
Oh, great acoustics in here.
Mm. We should record a podcast in here.
Daryl wants to roll for investigation to see if there's any Tom Clancy books.
Okay.
As a Catholic, Daryl has advantage on checking for books to get mad at.
He got an 18. Is there okay. any?
So with an 18, you can sense actually that just under your left foot is an original first edition hardback copy with no dust jacket of The Sum of All Fears.
Ooh, oh, Daryl Benson. I was like, oh, this is a good Sum of All Fears. This is a good one.
Daryl, wait.
Is a good
and one. Henry shoots a hand out. He goes,
what?
Tom Clancy sucks.
What?
Yeah, man, jingoistic much? Jeez, these books are super whack. You should read something more like, Ursula K. Le Guin. I cast about for an Ursula K. Le Guin book.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
Daryl leans over to Ryan's like, do you know, what's jingo?
I don't know.
It's those jeans. Daryl's those big baggy jeans that was really popular in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Tom Clancy would not be caught dead wearing those baggy jeans. I don't know what Henry's talking about.
Seems like a khaki and polo kind of guy, if you know what I mean.
I rolled a 26, Anthony.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, there's a first edition of Left Hand of Darkness, hardback, right underneath your foot.
I go, here you go. This is like the Rainbow Six of fantasy novels.
Ooh. I was going to do a little book club here. I'll give you Some of All Fears, and I'll read your... You said this is like Rainbow Six? Rainbow Six is a good one, too. I'll take your book.
I'm going to see if that author, Jinko, has any more books about maybe getting pants back on after maybe you've got a curse or something that you can't wear pants anymore. So if Jinko wrote a book, a how-to, I think that would be a really valuable tool.
Cool. Go ahead and roll.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to help you look for that, Ron. So Ron now has advantage on this.
because I want this to happen more than anything.
Anthony, you put us in a room full of books. We're going to spend the entire episode just looking at all the different books.
Well, I got 21.
Oh, 21. Okay, so with the 21, you see embedded in one of the nearby pillars, you just see the spine, but it says removal of pants curses by J.NCO.
John, non-commissioned officer.
Yeah, I do. I take it and open it.
Okay, so it's like a 300-page book, and you open it, and on the first page, it just says, you can't, and the rest of the pages are blank.
Okay.
I want to say what Daryl noticed with his 17 perception.
Mm-hmm.
So as you walked in, you saw four humanoid skeletons surrounding the skeleton of a dead goblin with his hands cupped together. Like you've seen them used to be a microphone back in the Red Brands.
Oh.
And you could tell with your 17 roll of perception that they were killed by fedora cuts.
Oh, man, it was a poetry reading. Oh, God.
Guys, I don't know how I know this, but those aren't sword cuts. I think those are from a fedora. I think it's our main enemy. Actually is here.
Oh my gosh.
That's my guess. Or Odd Job. Man, that's a good, man. Bond and Tom Clancy. That's what
I
love.
As you say that, you hear, despite the fact that there didn't seem to be a possibility of echo, you hear a booming voice echoing through the chamber. Well, actually, I'm not your main villain. I think that's probably Willie Stampler, but you're right about one thing. This is my castle. And if you want your friend back, if he even is your friend, you're going to have to go through some trials.
Oh, no.
Hey, well, actually, hey, shove it. First of all, that's a subjective statement. You are my main enemy now, so why don't you just take that back? You were wrong. Say you're wrong, idiot.
I'm not, though. I don't have any control over
it. You're my main enemy.
No.
My dad's a good dad. I don't have any bad dads here. No offense to all you guys. But like, well, yeah, you're my main enemy now.
How embarrassing for you. If I'm the one you hate the most and you don't even really matter to me that much. Ooh.
You know what, sir? I don't like that you killed these people in this dungeon. They seem like they were doing something weird with this goblin. But you know, all right, we can do your trials. We'll do them better than anyone. So just get out of our way, you jerk.
I'm annoyed. Well, actually, this is like the fourth that we got out prison. Now this asshole has taken your son or whatever. Let's get in there. Are we good?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
As you begin to walk forward, Will actually goes, well, actually, it's not going to be that easy. So in order to reach me, you have to know what it's like to be Well, actually.
Oh,
because
no.
You changed the nature of me, you know, and I want you to understand what it's like to have that nature changed innately.
Well, actually, the cards changed the nature of you.
Yeah, but like you were part of that whole thing. Like, whatever.
Damn, he got me.
As you approach the door to the next room, the books on the floor begin to animate and they form a massive golem, a 10-foot tall golem with its arms, legs, torso, and head made out of books. And it wields a very large book club in one of its hands.
It's nice. Oprah's book club.
Here's how this is going to work. My book golems are going to tell you a fact. But that fact is going to have a mistake in it, a little something that Well actually might catch. If you can catch it and you know what's wrong.
Well, if you already know what's wrong, then why don't you just fix it?
Because this is just for you. I'm testing you.
You have beaten the first golem.
I will posit a sentence to you. Within that sentence, there will be an incorrect fact. If you can guess what the incorrect fact is, but you don't have the correct fact, then you'll only take half damage from the golem's blow.
Well, actually, a fact is a fact. It can't be an incorrect fact, right? Or else it's not a fact, it's something else.
Okay, you get that one. Okay, I take damage on that one.
That's what I'm talking about.
You hear Will actually go, as he takes 18 psychic damage from what you just said.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Ron, crushed it. I go for high five for Ron.
Okay, well, you got to roll for the high five then.
I hold my hand up.
So I have to complete the high five.
Yes.
So it's all on me now.
Yes.
So I roll acrobatics, I feels like.
Acrobatics?
That's the wrongest thing you've ever said, but sure.
Okay, so now I'm going to do athletics then. You said it was wrong.
Sleight of hand.
Plus seven, that's an 18.
Okay.
Damn, we'll have to work that out later because you know that's intricate. That's something. They've got a whole thing now.
They got a secret handshake.
There will be an inaccuracy in the statement that you were given. If you identify it without knowing what the correct version of that inaccuracy is, you take half damage from the golem. If you identify it and you know the correct replacement, then you take no damage from the golem. I've got as many of these as we have time or think are fun.
Well, that's nice. That's fair.
Yes, that's visual, actually. That's great.
Where the hell is Jody? Did he have to do this bullshit?
No, he didn't. Jody and his nerdy-ass son are both safe and sound
in a place that I think you would appreciate very much, Glenn.
Okay.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you want to tell us what that is?
Would I like it?
What the heck
would
it?
Henry like it?
It's the Bard Rock Cafe. Oh, okay. We have a cafe inside Book Castle. It's like, you know, in a Barnes & Noble or whatever, where there's like a Starbucks like
in
that.
The back.
We have a Bard Rock Cafe here.
How rock and roll is this world that you can get a full-on chain restaurant inside of a bookstore? Like, that rules, dude. Like, if I go to Fuddruckers...
To Daryl, it's always that there's a Barnes & Noble outside the Starbucks. That's the way he thinks
about it. Starbucks is surrounded by a Barnes & Noble.
You gotta go to the Starbucks or the Barnes & Noble. They do the best coffee.
Around the Starbucks, a Barnes & Noble create. Oh my gosh, guys, Dad Huddle, real quick. If I remember correctly, Jody said that his anchor was in the Hard Rock Cafe. That means if he's there with Narcolus, maybe he'll use the anchor and then they'll go home or something like that. We gotta hurry.
Oh yeah, we gotta get him. Or do something.
That's a good point. Hey, we're in this Dad Huddle. Can I do a quick test just to see whether or not we should keep doing it? Let me just see. Well, actually, he's a big old butt head. All right, cool. I just want to make sure that if we're doing that, you know, it's just like, this is why do a dad hole if he can hear us anyway? So I'll just double check in.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he may have heard us. He's maybe really smart. Shit.
Just playing it cool.
Yeah, that's what Tom Clancy would do. He would oh pretend
God,
that
Daryl,
he didn't hear us.
Enough with Tom Clancy. Never mind. We'll talk about it later. All right. Give us your best shot. Well, actually.
All right.
I feel like every time Henry says we're going to talk about it later, Daryl takes one psychic damage. Just like, no, I don't want to talk about
it. Why? Because you recognize it in your own, like.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. This doesn't sound fun. Now I'm stressed out.
Sure. Take a psychic damage. Yeah. It's like when you get an email from somebody that's like some thoughts and you're like, I can't read this right now, but I'll probably do it later. And for the rest of the day, I'm dealing with that.
Canonically, Henry has sent like Daryl 20 emails that are all titled a few things.
Yeah, a few things.
Shit. So just to clarify, so I thought I'd come up with this whole structure for like find the inaccuracy. It turns out there was or is, I can't tell, a show that was like on like College Humor or Dropout or Dorkly or like one of those College Humory things that was literally called Well Actually and is this exact premise. So I just wanted to say I'm aware of that, unfortunately, but we're doing it anyway. So the book golem looks at you and its face is a very large copy of Ender's Game.
Oh, no.
And the book opens. And from its pages, you hear the ruffling of pages that turns into a voice. So the book says, in the Ender's Game saga, the first book, Ender's Game, tells the story of Ender Wiggins, and the book's sequel, Ender's Shadow, follows his friend Bean.
Actually, I think Daryl would know this. Ender's Shadow is not a sequel.
The book Golem melts in front of
well,
you.
Well, actually, I think it was called Speaker for the Dead.
Oh, yeah. It melts even further. It explodes. Pages go everywhere.
And well, actually, I think Ender's Shadow is a retelling of the first series in the new quadrilogy, isn't it?
Yeah, you just clarified the first one.
We can hear well actually say like that's basically the same fact, but just in more detail.
This is not the sequel, yeah.
Still well done. All right. You correctly found the inaccuracy there, and the golem falls away with no effort.
That was easy.
As you head into the next room, this is now a canyon of books. There's basically a huge fissure separating you from the other side of the canyon. And there's a golem standing in front of it, and he opens his head, which is an Animorphs book, and he says in K.A. Applegate's series Animorphs, a group of teens gain the power to morph into animals. If they stay in animal form too long, however, they are stuck as that animal for good. This is the fate of Tobias, who early in the series is permanently stuck in the form of a robin.
I cast Hidden Paths and teleport us across the chasm.
It sees you cross the other side of the chasm and goes, wait, what? It turns around and sees you go, God damn it! And it throws its book club at you specifically, Henry. I'm going to roll for it.
Well, I don't think it was a robin.
It's too late. You already cheated, but yes, correct. It was not a robin. You nailed it. Good for you, he says, pointing at you, but not at Henry.
Was it a tiger?
So as you say that, the club splits into another second club while it's in the air, and that one zooms for you, Ron.
Oh, no.
Ron, you're going to take 13 damage. Henry, you're going to take 26 damage.
Oh, ooh, yikes. Did we have time to heal after the fight, or am I at what my health was before?
We didn't have any time to rest. Or
all right,
anything,
no, so. All right. I'm not doing great.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. I'm like, uh-oh.
Henry has 12 hit points.
And more than that, Ron, as the club hits you and the books open, you feel their paper cuts all over you, and you hear the sound of the papers like whispering into your ear, and they say, sneak attack has nothing to do with stealth rolls and everything to do with whether or not the rogue has advantage on their attack or are fighting with friends nearby.
Oh my God.
And you can feel part of yourself changing with that knowledge. You feel like the businessman part is like somehow being supplanted by a traditionally generic rogue.
Am I going to have to know how to play this, though? Because that's the other big issue.
Anthony just created the highest stakes this podcast has ever had, which is just to neuter and polish down Ron as a boring character. This can't happen.
Heather, you feel the sense of like, oh, your crunchiness and your munchiness. You can feel it being subsumed under a surface of like, just like a tree-loving nature creature that is one with the forest and very serene. And
oh, no.
Oh, and the voice goes, when you wild shape, you actually take on the additional HP of the animal. It doesn't just...
Yes, actually, that's literally what I was going to say. So, well, actually, you hear his voice saying, so you feel a little different, do you? Well, here's the thing. I've been watching the way that you've gone about your adventures, and I don't much truck with the way that you've decided that you don't want to play by the rules as established. So if you get knocked out, if you ever get to zero HP while you're in my castle, you're going to revert into the true version of what you should be. And that means you have to cast your spells with components. That means you have to only take one action per turn with minor actions as a possibility. I will become the guiding hand that you have needed so badly in your lives, but have been unable to achieve as the bad dads that you are.
Holy shit. This is the highest stakes I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Daryl leans over to Glenn's like, do you have any idea what he's talking about?
I don't know. Sounds like a bunch of just stupid shit.
Okay, I mean, let's just keep going.
Beth, if this happens, we're going to need to like have to like find someone online, like a Fiverr person to like teach you.
You're going
to
have to literally fire me. It's going to be like, oh, sorry, the role is now like the character speaks only Swedish. And so we're going to have to hire a Swedish actor. And I'm like, I understand. Go ahead. Thinking about it, it's like, yeah, you could teach me how to play D&D, but you couldn't teach me to be like a smart person about it. you couldn't teach me to make normal decisions.
You can lead a Beth to a D20, but you can't make her roll.
Exactly.
Henry is going to heal himself first, though. He's going to cast Balm of the Summer Court. Fae energy pool as a bonus action. By spending dice from the pool, you can restore HP, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I heal for 34.
So you head into the next room and you see a large mountain of books blocking half of the room from you. So as you begin to climb this mountain of books, another golem appears at the top and it says, the Game of Thrones series currently consists of 5 novels, with the 6th, The Winds of Winter, having been in production for at least 10 years.
In production? Do books go in production? I'm not a real book guy. Henry, do books go in production?
Oh, God. I'm not a real Game of Thrones guy.
Glenn watched Game of Thrones with Nick and was like, I'm sure the book is going to be better. Well, actually, isn't that the 7th book in the series?
The golem slowly turns its head to you and it says, it's not called the Game of Thrones series. It's called A Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh, no!
And it
no!
dives off the top of the mountain and it crashes into you. And 18 hits your AC?
Yes, it does.
So go ahead and take... With 3d12, you only took 10 damage, so well done. But yeah, you feel the whisper of the pages. In episode 21, to lower the amount of damage Daryl took from the library's attack, Glenn should have had to declare that he was using cutting words before the amount of damage was known.
It's like a cramp. It's like a cramp in my leg. It's my style. Guys, my style's being cramped.
I don't care so much, it hurts.
Dude, the moment Glenn says there's a cramp, Daryl goes straight into sports medicine mode. He goes, he's like, just rub it out. And he just starts like rubbing your calf.
You can't rub it out.
You gotta move it up. You gotta move it up. That's how you get rid of the
Daryl
cramp.
Daryl yells, just rub it out, and starts to massage Glenn.
Just moving his calf up and down.
Henry's okay. Like, oh, are we doing this? No, I'm sorry.
Okay, Glenn, you can feel for a second that your fingers that are so used to the frets and the feel of an electric guitar in your hand, you kind of wish you had something a little bit more acoustic, a little smaller, a little lutier.
I once picked up a mandolin and threw up in my mouth. I can't do this, guys.
As you continue to climb, just a very, very large copy of Catch 22 appears before you. Every syllable opens his cover like it's a puppet, and it says, in Catch 22, Joseph Heller's critically acclaimed novel of the Korean War, the main character Yosarian ends the book by dodging a knife blow from a prostitute.
I believe it's World
War. It's not that kind of blow. No.
Henry says, well, actually, I believe it was World War II, not the Korean War.
Its pages burst out of it like you just headshot it with a sniper rifle and it goes, no, and falls over.
You know, guys, it was also originally called Catch 18, but then there was another book that had 18 in the title, so then they switched it to Catch 22. Fun fact.
So you hear the echo of, well, actually going, I didn't know that. And he takes 17 damage, psychic damage, from that fact. as you are all climbing the mountain, Henry, as one of your feet begins to get purchase on the hill, a paper hand reaches out of the mass of books and grabs you by the ankle and begins to drag you down into the...
Hey, cut it out. What are you doing?
The sea of books.
Daryl reaches out for Henry.
Daryl!
Go ahead and give me a strength check.
Yeah. Good luck to you. I got this.
Call an ambulance, but not for me.
But not for me. Even with a 6, that'll be a... Oh, it's only a 13.
Okay. Read, you fools.
As a bonus action, I'm going to enter rage.
Okay.
Why is Daryl enraged right now?
Why does that surprise me that books would enrage Daryl, huh?
Because we were climbing. Guys? I took a glance at the book Henry told me was going to be as good as Tom Clancy. And he's like, this son of a bitch, I want to read this. And then he calls out, so I will get advantage on strength checks.
Okay, go ahead and roll again.
He quickly scans the book for the phrase Heckler and Koch NP5 and it finds that Ursula K. Le Guin did not write Ding Chavez pulls a Beretta 9mm and was like, this isn't a book I want to read.
Ding Chavez, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Okay. Okay, yeah, 13 anyways.
All right. Henry, you feel yourself being dragged down into the muck and into the darkness.
This wasn't part of the deal. Well, actually, this wasn't part of the deal.
And your hand, like the Terminator, sort of sinks underneath and just you are down here. And a book opens in front of you. And you see on the cover page as an unearthly light radiates from it. And it says Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Oh, shit.
And it says,
oh, shit.
This is just for you. And Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the titular doctor's creation known as Frankenstein's monster, strangles the doctor's fiancée to death, inspiring the doctor to go on a quest for vengeance.
The book is called Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, which is true, not Frankenstein.
Shit. All right. Okay.
Right?
What do I do when you got one of the things right and the other two things wrong? It was also a trick question. There was two things in there, and you came up with a third I hadn't even thought about.
Henry, what's going on in there?
They're trying to make me say wrong stuff about a book down here that everyone's insufferable about.
It's just muffled. Did you just hear that muffled?
Yeah, so I guess from that, you can tell where he is in this pile of books if you want to try to grab him out and save me from trying to figure out what I need to do.
Oh, let's dig him out, guys.
I just reach my hand down to the books.
Yeah, I stick a hand down there.
Okay, so you get dragged away. I'm going to say because you did something he didn't expect, you only take half damage. So I'm going to roll... So basically,
what were the
so
wrong things?
As you're getting pulled away, it says, well, it was a trick question. There were two things. Number one, Frankenstein isn't specifically mentioned to be a doctor in the book. And number two, Frankenstein's monster is just called the creature. As you get pulled up, it slashes at you.
I thought it was going to be that he didn't have a fiance because who's like fucking that nerdy doctor guy who's all obsessed with making somebody else.
Stupid nerd.
Yeah.
All right. So you take half damage, which means you only take 6 paper cut damage as you get pulled out of the mountain.
It hurts to be right.
So you head into the next room and you can see the bright lights of a Bard Rock Cafe in the distance. And inside in the lobby of the Bard Rock Cafe, you can see Jody and Nicholas bound and gagged and pinned under a very, very large copy of Absolute Watchmen, the hardcover edition. As you were focusing on... What's up?
Well, actually, you lied. You said they were happy and fine.
I don't recall saying happy, but they're fine. They're safe.
I don't recall what people say when they're lying.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're fine? Okay, so if that's fine, if you consider that fine, then why don't you just be fine and go tie yourself up and be underneath the big book, too?
Because I like being better than fine.
Damn. Who watches the Watchmen, though, am I right?
So he goes... I like that. And he heals you for 5 points of health for saying who watches the Watchmen.
Hey, I got one too well, actually. Who wells the actually? Who well actually is the actually, right? That's funny. I got one. I'm Henry.
Hit him well, actually.
Henry, the world cries out, well, and I say, actually.
Lads, don't debase yourself too well, actually. We don't need his help.
It's not a comic book. It's a graphic novel.
So I was going to say, two big arms made of books reach out from the ground right in front of you and just wrap themselves around your neck. And you hear Will actually say, I don't like being pandered to except in a very specific way. And then you said, it's not a comic book and it's a graphic novel. And it went, all right. And it loosened its grip a little bit. So Will actually goes, you got through my puzzles a lot quicker than I thought you would. There's only 3 left, but they're going to do double damage. So you better listen, Will. You better understand what it's like to be inside the mind of someone else.
Can I roll stealth?
Yes, please do.
I rolled 21.
21. Okay, so yeah, whatever you want to do, you can do it.
Okay, I'm just going to hide under the books.
Like under the ground? You're going to be like Bugs Bunny with a mound of dirt above its...
Yeah, Ron is just going to like nuzzle aside some books and lay down flat and so that he's kind of covered by books and looks like he could be a book himself.
Okay, with your 21.
And you know what? He's going to wrap some of the pages around him. So even if he stands up, he might as well just be a fucking library wall. Like, he just kind of looks booky.
Okay.
Does he tell anyone before he does this?
No, absolutely no. No.
Shit, what happened to Ron? Did we lose Ron?
Where'd Ron go? Ron, where are you, bud?
I whisper, trust me. And then I put a pagey hand around Henry's ankle in a way that maybe he won't freak out about.
Ron's probably doing something smart. Oh, we don't know where Ron is. He's probably got like a plan or something.
Henry just keeps going, Ron, where are you? Ah, geez, Louise. And then he walks back up to the rest of the group.
Another golem appears in front of you out of the ground. It jumps up and is the exact shape and size of the Balrog from Lord of the Rings.
Matt, wake up. This one's for you, buddy.
It opens its maw and it says, The Lord of the Rings is a 3-book series by J.R.R. Tolkien that chronicles an epic quest to destroy the One Ring in the fires of Mount Doom.
I don't think it's...
I mean, it was originally written as one book and it was published in 3 different parts.
Seems like a technicality.
Well, I mean, that's what... Well,
you are perilously close to it. You were differently right. You found the basic. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right.
That's the final form of well, actually, that I want to see is yeah, all right.
Henry, let the judge say I'm wrong. Let the judge say I'm wrong, Henry. What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Sorry.
So what I was going for was that it's 6 books. Each book is divided
into
2 books. Yeah. But it was originally published as 1 volume, so... You get off this time, Wilson. It says as it slowly melts and back into the ground.
I think Daryl's answer would be like, it's 3 movies.
Okay, then Daryl takes.
Yes, no, that's good. That's so much better.
Yes,
that's so
you gotta eat, eat some shit.
Daryl, no!
Yeah, no, sorry, motherfucker.
Daryl takes 46 damage.
Oh, Daryl's dead.
Wait, what?
Daryl hasn't recovered from the riot. So Daryl says, I know this one, guys. I love these. It's 3 movies, or I guess maybe 6 movies if you count The Hobbit. And then what happens to me?
So the book smiles at you, and it just opens its maw. No, you know, wait, it's a Lord of the Rings book. So it definitely like dives into the ground and like disappears like a shark underwater and you think it's gone. And then a big whip made out of books goes whoosh, and lashes around your ankle and it drags you down into the deep of the books. You disappear for a second.
Daryl?
And then you're thrown back up and all of your clothes are white now and you are wearing plate mail armor. You have a helm on instead of a baseball cap and you are... No longer a human stay-at-home house husband.
You are
a Goliath barbarian. You are a giant.
Oh, my God.
You are beefy.
Hello, friends.
This is the worst.
What?
Peyton, you seen this shit?
Oh, my God.
Son? My boy? My baby boy?
My dear son, Dad, Peyton, nice to see you. I'm sorry if I scared you all for a second, but let's do this.
Who are you?
I'm Daryl.
Daryl, why are you 7 feet tall and like all stony looking now?
That's a rude thing to ask a Goliath.
Why is everyone getting hotter but me? Why do I lose my glasses and Glenn becomes a smoking hot old dude and now Daryl's 7 feet tall and jacked as hell? What's next? Is Ron going to turn into a supermodel? What next, world?
As you ask what next, world, a golem appears behind you from the ground and grabs you by the throat and it whispers into your ear and you see that its head is the Bible and it says the Bible tells the true story of God and the creation of the universe as well as humanity's past, present, and future.
It's not a true, right? It's not like a true book. It's, you know.
Well, actually,
it's not like a true book.
I mean, it's debatable. Like, I mean, even if you were going to be the King John
even
version.
Even most Christians don't think it's literally true.
Yeah.
Will actually goes, I thought I was being edgy with that one, but yeah, no, you got me. You're all right. You got me. And that goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's like very few denominations of Christianity are literalists.
I mean,
Anthony, just to clarify, am I not Daryl?
What am I, God?
Anthony, just to clarify, are you a Christian?
Everything you're doing is good.
Okay. So also, I just want to say really quick, as that's answered, I feel like Daryl, the new Daryl, he probably dropped the Tom Clancy book and kind of like remember in that Doctor Who, the Van Gogh episode when she like lost Rory, but she doesn't remember she lost him and she's just crying for no reason.
Yeah.
It's that. So Daryl looks at the Tom Clancy and he just like, he's like, why am I crying?
He feels nothing.
No, he feels something, but he doesn't understand why he's crying. He's
right. Just like, why? He doesn't feel the desire to read the book anymore. He like doesn't care.
Yeah. He's just like, why? I don't know why that book's making me sad.
Vaughn is like wincing into the books that he's hiding in. He's like, if they can't find me, they can't make me be a real rogue.
All right.
Holy shit.
The final golem appears before you. It is bigger than every golem you have yet seen before. It blocks the entrance to the Bard Rock Cafe. It blocks the entire sign. You cannot see the building beyond it. It is so big.
It just says,
Yeah, it says, hey. And in the chest of this creature, its torso, this is the thickest torso you've ever seen on a book. Nice. And it says, Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace.
Oh my God, no.
And the golem says,
the end boss of books.
The golem says, the greatest book of all time is Infinite Jest.
Wait a second. It's true. I think this is another trick. I think this one's true. I think that Well actually thinks this book is the greatest book of all time.
I know how to solve this. And I punch Infinite Jest.
Roll attack. Roll an attack.
So what? Oh, right, it's a seven. 7 plus 7, 14.
Okay, so with a 14, you run up to like the foot of this Infinite Jest monster and you punch it, and you can see like the shockwaves of your punch like ripple through the book, but it just goes, I am not so easily penetrated as that.
This Goliath, I'm not done yet. And I do my second attack.
God.
I'm penetrated.
This time I got 18.
Okay, with an 18, you punch its ankle, and one of the books in its ankle, Consider the Lobster, Collection of Essays, you manage to dislodge it from the golem itself, and it's a little bit rickety on its feet.
I do like that one.
It's a good book.
It is a good book. And he goes, are you going to answer, or am I going to do my damage to all of you?
I have a question for your question. How could anyone know if Infinite Jest is actually the best book ever? Because no one's ever read it. They just pretend to read it.
You feel a flutter in the air around you. You can smell the fedora musk move through your body as Well actually gets as angry as you've ever heard him. And he goes, hey, I read it.
Well, then it's great. It's the best book of all time. And that was the trick question. It's really the best book.
Infinite Jest turns to look at you and it goes, oh. And it reaches up to its torso and it goes, the best book of all time. And it rips the cover away and it reveals a hardcover copy of Fight Club by Chuck Palahniuk. And then it smashes you.
No.
It smashes you for 36 damage.
Oh my God. Henry has 4 health.
As you feel the full weight of Chuck Palahniuk's seminal work demolish you into dust.
It's a pretty thin book. It's not
as
that.
This anti-capitalist screed washes over you.
You hear the pages whisper, a bear, Henry's favorite creature to turn into, is a challenge rating 1 beast, and he should not be able to turn into it until level 8.
Oh, dang. Well, good thing I'm level 10 now, so I can do it now.
Nice.
Episodes 8, 12, and 23, you weren't, so
shit.
Just so you know. Just
episodes
FYI.
Of what?
Get him. Get him, Ron, wherever you are.
So Well actually goes, all right, congratulations. You've gotten through everything. Feel free to take your friend and leave my castle. And the doors to the Bard Rock Cafe open, and the Absolute Watchman copy inverts itself and falls onto the other side of the floor, and Nicholas and Jody are free. They're still bound and gagged.
Glenn's going to march right up to the two of them. I guess perception check. Like, do they look okay? Like, does Nick look okay?
Yeah, give me a perception check.
Natural 20 plus 4, 24.
Oh, great. You notice that not only are Nicholas and Jody okay, but that there is a figure in the shadows in the rafters above you.
Oh, shit.
You've noticed them, but they haven't noticed that you've noticed them.
So Glenn is going to quietly unsheath his his fucking human gun.
Nice.
He puts his hand on the
on his Heckler and Koch MP5K. Ding Chavez.
That's a submachine gun, but
just saying Ding Chavez is a very funny thing.
And he's going to ungag Nick and Nick only.
Okay.
Oh, so you've walked in.
Yeah, I've walked in.
Yeah, he's walked in.
But I'm like hyper aware of that figure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Glenn, as you step forward with your gun unsheathed, you feel that figure in the rafters let go and try to leap downward onto you. What do you do?
I do a cool spin around quick draw thing.
Okay, like after they've landed, you point the gun at them?
I'm gonna try to shoot them out of the air.
Without knowing what they are?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll an attack with your human gun.
Okay. 5 plus 8, 13.
Your bullet barely wings the figure as they leap down. You see a poof, and it gets some of their clothing and some cotton flies in the air. And you hear a familiar voice say,
ah!
And the figure steps out from the shadows, and you see that it is Mark Likely. And she goes,
well, it's been a while, fuckos, but time to pay the piper, a.k.a. me, a.k.a. Mark Likely. I got a job for you.
Fuck, are we getting Ashley back?
Yeah.
Wait, have you told her about it? Has she said yes?
Dungeons & Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong as Glenn Close. Special guest Ashley Birch for like just a second there as Mark Likely. Theme song is All Right by Maxon Waller. Courtney Theron is our content producer. Ashley Nicolette is our community manager. Chad Ellis provides additional editing. Robin Rapp is our transcriber. Special thanks to Agnity this week for providing us with a detailed database of D&D sins. And also special thanks to our Patreon supporters, folks like Tony Knight, Ali Parker, Garrett Scanlon, Samu Carlella, Ben Allison, Michael Sontag, Frank Latyak, Emmy FB, Captain Vampire, Ariana, Mark Phelan, William Fenyes, Thomas Jancis, Scarillo, Stormy, Anthony Saints, Planet Zinc, Thomas James, and Ray. A lot of hard ones to pronounce this week. Thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, old and new, who have just recently, in the past month, pushed us past 10,000 supporters. We really appreciate it. It means we got another stretch goal to do. But first, we got to take care of our first one, the Star Wars stretch goal, the one that I've been talking so much about. It's finally going to be coming out this week. It's going to be available exclusively on our Patreon to people pledged at all levels. So if you want to hear it, you're going to want to be on that Patreon. That's patreon.com/dungeonsanddads to hear our Star Wars spinoff, Gungans and Daddies, all that jizz. There's tons of other stuff that you can get for supporting the Patreon as well. You can listen along live as we premiere each episode every couple of weeks. You can get a backlog of bonus content. You can head to our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com, and click on the top link on Patreon. You can see all of the content that you would get in one handy place. Tons and tons of stuff there. Check it out. Skip the ads. Consider supporting this show directly. Go to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads and check it out. I promise you it's worth your time. You can also find our merch at bit.ly/dadmerch, and that's all caps. Follow us on Twitter, Dungeons and Dads, reddit.com/r/dungeonsanddaddies. Thank you so much for listening. Our next episode comes out April 6th, so we'll see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down. I'm going to keep a hand by my old... I don't have any weapons, so I'm just going to be mindful. Mindfulness is my weapon.
Mindful.
Mindfulness is my weapon.
I'm going to keep a mental hand next to my mindfulness gun.
Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life?
All the moms.
The moms, the MILFs.
How come none of these
moms
packets?
I'd like to frame.
Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame.
Hey, Aura, challenge accepted on unlimited photos.
Unlimited. You can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. For Mother's Day, that's your great Mother's Day gift. You know what I mean? Just send her some pictures of you doing stuff. From grandmothers to new mothers. Well, no, you know, like activities. From grandmothers to new mothers.
Activities we're talking about here.
Aunts and even the friends in your life. Every mom
even the
loves
friends.
Them. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. There's a lot of things that can bring joy to moms of all ages.
Nice.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code DUNGEONS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dungeons & Daddies is brought to you this week by Mint Mobile.
It is? Oh, wait,
we're Ryan.
We love you.
We missed you. We're sorry.
Take us back, Ryan.
We may have stepped out on you in
international. I don't believe that Ryan has a cell phone, because he would have called back at this point.
Hey, listen, Ryan, you told me all about those overpriced wireless providers, how there's always a catch. Well,
and we got 5 tickets to a certain movie coming out pretty soon.
That's right. When I heard that Deadpool v. Wolverine was coming out, I called all my friends on their Mint Mobile
accounts. Oh, I was talking about Challengers. I'm so excited about that tennis movie.
I'm sure Ryan would love to watch it with you.
Yes.
I said to my friends, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I thought, what's the catch? But there isn't one, you fool. Mint Mobile secret sauce, they sell wireless service online, which means that they don't have retail stores, they don't have to buy those kiosks in malls, and they pass those sweet mall savings directly onto you. I have Mint Mobile on my phone. I duo queue it. I got multiple lines. It's great.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And by the way, I'm more often than not, honestly, my normal phone is kind of like not as good service.
How many phones do
you can have? Hey, modern phones allow you to put multiple.
Is stepping out on us with other podcasts?
Oh my gosh. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans. Jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you.
You mentioned 20's calling on that other cell phone.
With premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month.
Freddie, we want you back.
All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan like me and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/dungeons. That's mintmobile.com/dungeons. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/dungeons.
That was a great ad read, Daddy. Can you read it again?
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower, above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.